Hallelujah. Put your hands together.
Seem like some doors are shut.
Amen. Seems like there's no hope, no way out. Amen. Backs up against the wall. Amen. Looking for a help, for an answer, but there is no answer. Tonight we're going to deal our subject is the faith realm. Amen. The faith realm. Now, when we got saved, I heard Paul write in the book of 2 Corinthians, if any man be in Christ, he is a
new creature.
A what?
New creature.
A new creature. Behold, all things
have passed away.
And behold, all things are now
new.
So the old things have passed away. Now, as my wife often says, the operative word in that scripture is all things are now
new.
One of the challenges in walking in faith is that we have been conditioned and preconditioned by the world. And the world system has taught us through the years, how many knows what the motto is for the Missouri state?
Show me.
Right? Show me or seeing is what?
Believe.
So the world has preconditioned us and taught us and drilled in us. Before I can believe, I have to. Well, when we got in Christ, the Bible said, behold, all things have passed away, and I'm afraid sometimes in church, some things are new. Amen. Some of the bad habits, some of our traditions, some of the things that we had before salvation, we did not transfer them and allow our minds to be transformed so that on this side of the cross, they are now new. Amen. I'm going to relate something to you before we read this. You know, like we've been telling y'all for the last, we've been going to the Georgia City Council for, I think it's like a third or fourth month. And at the first one, we get here the testimony about this elder that's now in the Georgia State Council that was on death row. Amen. So, you know, me and my wife came back last time trying to get information. But this time they had an appreciation dinner for Bishop Guthrie, who's the presiding bishop over the Georgia State Council, and he's in charge. So Bishop said, you know, we got a lot of bishops here. He said, we got a lot of people here. He said, but I'm going to allow Elder Moore to give his testimony. Amen. And he was a humble man when he came up. And I'm saying when your back's up against the wall. Amen. Faith can make a way where there is. I said, faith can make a way where there is. So Elder Moore got up to give his testimony. He said, Bishop of Humble. He said, we're all in the bishops. He said, who am I to give my testimony? Because he's a bishop to give your testimony. So he said, well, I'm going to just tell you all in short. He says, I was 7.5 hours away from execution. They had prepared him and taken him in the cell. Amen. Given him all of his rights. Asked him whether he wanted his body to be buried. And he was sitting there. But prior to that, when he first, what happened was when he came out of the army, he was in the army as a young man. He came home and found his wife on drugs and hanging out with drug addicts, and his life was like shattered. So he moved into a trailer. He took his 3-year-old son and they moved into a trailer. And what happened was when they moved into the trailer, his government checks had been sent to his wife in her name because he was overseas. When he moved into the trailer, he said, well, I have to be able to live. But the government, as inefficient as they always are, said it takes us 90 days to transfer it so you can get your own money. I believe other kids know about these transfers, right? So it took us 90 days to get a transfer. He said, well, how am I going to live now if I don't have any money? He just moved to a trailer, bills were stacked up, and he didn't have to try every source for emergency help there was and couldn't get any help. So a friend of him told him about another gentleman in the trailer court that kept $20,000 to $30,000 cash on hand. So he figured, well, I can just go in and steal a few hundred dollars and that'll help me out for the time being. And the man was, I believe, in the 70s, around 78 or so. So he went into the guy's trailer in the dark, walking around trying to find his money. Then he felt something hit him on his leg and a gun went off. And he had a pistol in his pocket, so he just turned around and shot automatically and killed the guy right on the spot. And the next day they picked him up and they took him down to the jail. And he went to the judge and said, "I want to confess." He said, "I did it." He explained the situation. The judge said, "Well, it's honorable what you've done, but," he said, "in 3 months you will be dead." So he gave him a 3 month sentence and then he'd be executed. When his mother, who was up in Columbus, I believe Columbus, Ohio, in the KLUW church, heard that he was on death row and only had 3 months to live, that didn't waste time. And he was down in a part of the country where there were very few blacks. So when she heard that he only had 3 months, she said, "At least let's try to get him saved before he gets executed." So she called Bishop Guthrie, who's in charge of the Georgia State Council now, and said, "Well, can you go down and at least pray with them? So maybe you might help him to get his life straight." So the bishop said, "Well, I go down," and said, "I don't know the guy, I don't even know where the jail is at." And when he went, he said, "You know, there's a procedure for doing a visit. You can't just show up." He said, "Well, I'm going to go, but who's the city going to let me in to see him?" So he traveled 250 miles, and when he got there, he asked for Billy Moore. And Billy at this time had never heard of no gospel, had never heard the message of salvation. And he only had a few days to live, so he said at this time he was gambling his life away. He said, "What do I have? I don't have anything to look forward to." So when Bishop Guthrie and his wife, Sister Mary Guthrie, pulled up and they went up to get Billy, they said, "Oh, a preacher downstairs to see you." He said, "I didn't call for no preacher. I'm not going to see a preacher." He said, "What am I going to see a preacher for? I didn't call for him. I don't want this God stuff." He said, I don't want to be bothered." So he said, the sheriff was 6'6", about 300 pounds. He said, "Boy, this is my jail. If I said the preacher called for you, you're going to see the preacher." Right. So he said he went down to see the preacher. And he said, he didn't say a whole lot. He said, "The only thing that Bishop Guthrie said to me was, 'Jesus loved you, and so do we.' That's all he said." He said, "Wait a minute." He said, "You don't know me. I don't have nothing to give you. I don't have anything to offer you." So he said, "Once again, Jesus loves you, and so do we." He said, it just hit him like a ton of bricks. He said, "It's something different about them." So he said, "Well, I don't really know your preacher." He said, "But whatever you got, I want it." Mm-hmm. Amen. So Bishop Guthrie, being apostolic, said, "Well, you know, if you want it, you got to get baptized in Jesus' name and get filled with the Holy Ghost." So the sheriff said, He said, "I don't know how you going to do that." He said, "That boy ain't leaving this jail." So Mother Guthrie, we heard a lot about Mother Guthrie since we've been going through these councils. She said, "I don't know what you're going to do, Sheriff, but you're going to get some kind of way because we baptized that boy today." So Sheriff said, "Well, okay, you know, don't be so pushy." You know, she said, we baptized him today. Right. And what happened was he baptized, God filled him with the Holy Ghost. And he said he went back up to his cell and everybody was laughing at him. But he was still on death row. Amen. So what happened was they began to do one stay after another for 16 years. Then after 16 years, they said, "Okay, it's all finally set." For 3 days, he sat in the execution room. And they gave him the thing, saying, "Well, this is what's going to happen when you get hit with electricity. Your body's going to catch on fire. The eyes are going to pop out of your socket." They gave him all this stuff. He said he was sitting there and he was praying and saying, "Lord, I know I deserve it, but I'm guilty." He said, but the one thing he did before he went into the cell, into this room, is he wrote the family and apologized to them. He said, and he wrote them a letter, the essence of the letter was, "I know I caused you grief and pain, as well as my family." He said, "I'm asking you for forgiveness, though I do not deserve it." He said, "I don't deserve it." So he was 7.5 hours away from execution in the room, walking around, and God was watching him. And then he said, and within his spirit, he kept saying, "God," he said, "the Lord kept telling him, he said, you're going to live and testify of my gospel." He said, but he was shaking and he was really nervous. He got some other bad news at the same time. But he said, he began to walk into jail cell and said, "I shall live and not die." He said, that police officer said, "Are you crazy? How you going to live and not die?" Come on. He said, "You're executed, buddy." He said, You got 7.5 hours left to live. He said, God kept telling him. So he kept walking around. And you can see this on CBN also. Matt Robinson did a feature short on it. Right, I'll send you all the link so you can hear his own testimony. But he said he kept walking around the jail saying, I shall live and not die to testify the gospel, the glory of the gospel of God. He kept saying it, and the officer there was like, man, he lost it. He said, so what they did is they sat him down to prepare him, started to shave his head, and the sheriff ran in and said, what are you doing? He said, well, the man is dying, right? He said, no, because he had another state. So 7.5 hours away from execution, he got another state. And what happened was, when he wrote the family to ask for their forgiveness, they were saved. So they came down to the jail and said, that's our brother, you cannot kill him. He said, he can't kill him, he's a Christian. He's our brother, and you cannot kill family. So they had all these things to go on and go forth, so they had this state. So what happened eventually, they said, okay, well, we can't kill him, so they said, well, he'll serve a life sentence. So he stayed in jail 6 more years, and then he was released. And now he's an elder and a preacher and a PA brother. I say that to say, I don't think none of our situations are that bad. But when you walk by faith, and when you trust God, now he goes all over the world giving this testimony, and Lord willing, one day we'll get him up here. I know my wife, I didn't get a chance to talk to him too much, but my wife spoke to him and his wife in death for a long time, and he just was humbled. He said, you know, the thing is the history, and this is history. When you believe God, I don't care what's against you. That's why the Bible says, God before you, who can be against you, right? He's the only confessed person on death row in the history of the United States that got out of jail. The only person in history in the United States that was a confessed murderer, sentenced to death, but is now free. I say there's no God like our God, amen? You know, and as I heard his testimony, he just failed. He just kept hitting me about faith. Because all of us, we always like to make our situation like, God can't do this. Well, how many know when it comes to God, God can do anything if you have faith to believe? 7.5 hours, he said, all he could smell was the burnt flesh. He was sitting next to the electric chair. Amen. But God. But God. And it kind of stirred me, you know, because we are so conditioned by the world and circumstances that when we get one of those type of, now our situations aren't that bad, but the devil has a way of taking our circumstances. Amen. Has a way of twisting God's word. Has a way of putting us in bondage to the very word of God that made us free. The devil takes God's word that should liberate us, that saved us, that washed us free from our sin, and then he puts us in bondage with the same word. How does he do that? When Jesus has fasted 40 days and 40 nights. How many know when you fast 40 days or 40 nights, you are at a spiritual high?
Right.
Now this is what happens to us. When we get spiritual, we stop watching. So what was the very first thing that met Jesus after his fast? The devil. The devil. The very first, and us, you know, we get all up fine, we do this for God, and we stop watching, but the devil is still the devil. And the very first thing he did was took the word of God and twisted it to God himself. Took the word of God and twisted it to have the dominance or influence over the very author of the word. Do you think he won't try to do the same thing for you? I guess you. So then we begin to look at our anthills and their mountains. And the Lord said, if you have faith, all you have to do is what? Speak to the mountain. So tonight, we're dealing with faith. Amen. Your situation is not as bad as you think. But we've been forced are placed in a situation where our bondage is, should be our freedom. Because Jesus said, he whom the Son has set, as God said, it was free. Can we get away from it? Well, if God has set you free, you're free then. Well, how are we now bound? Amen. If God has set us free, how are we bound? Because before all things that I did, the devil resurrected emotions. And he resurrects some outside influences so that now he has the dominance. Amen. And before you, can you go to, I believe it's Romans, before we read this, go to Romans chapter 6. We're dealing with tonight with the realm of faith. Amen. The realm of faith. You might want to check the door. We're dealing with the realm of faith and not being bound. He whom the Son set free is free indeed. Let's go to verse 15. Amen. We all know this. He talks about as many of us have been crucified. Our old man, as we've been baptized into Christ, we have put on Christ. Amen. If we've been baptized in Jesus' name, we have put on Christ. That the old body of sin has been crucified. Amen. That we should no longer are servants to sin. Amen. Now verse 15 reads, what then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law but under? Shall we sin because we're not under the law but under grace? It says what? God forbid. Amen. God has set every last one of us free. If we are entangled or we bound or we can't seem to get over the hump, the fault is not in God. Amen. The same tempter. Satan is the tempter. The name Satan means the accuser. He's the one that has us bound. Verse 16 reads. Now this is key. Amen. This is very, very important in order for us to be overcome. It says, know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants. Who you hear yourselves? Servants to obey. Stop. What are we obeying? Who? What is our master? What is leading us? What has the dominance? Amen. What has the dominance in our lives? The trial means nothing for God because all he has to do is speak the word. But the devil knows that as long as he can work on the part that we don't like the most, is how he can get us out. How do we know this? Job says, he never told anybody. He said, the thing that I feared the greatest has now happened to me. He didn't express it. But the Bible says concerning Satan, he is wise and he knows what makes us tick. So the very thing that you fear, that's why God has not given us in church the spirit of fear. The thing you fear is what he will attack you with. How we know? Just read about Job. So it says, know ye not that whom ye hear yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye all whom ye stop right now. Hallelujah. Who are we obeying? What influences are we listening to? Amen. And the thing about God is, no matter what the influences are, God always stands to redirect our attention back to him. So we're in a condition, a position that we're in tonight. The fault is not in God. Who are you obeying? It said, whether of sin unto death, or what? Obedience. Stop. What? Well, what are we obeying? The word of God. God told Samuel to tell Saul, to obey is better than everything else you can do. To what? Obey. He said, obedience unto? You cannot be righteous not be righteous if you obey God. Now let's go to Hebrews chapter 11. So know ye not whom you hear yourself serving to obey, his servants ye all whom you obey. Whether unto sin, amen, unto death, or unto obedience, unto what the best explanation of righteousness is that you're in good standing with God. Righteousness, you're in good standing with God. Now we're being beat up, tormented, and forced into a corner in our mind because we want to allow God to make all things clear. What we are saying, we should have had a transformation of character and mind. The world should not be the dominating factor for us to yield ourselves service to obey. We should be obeying God. Amen?
Amen.
Whoever you yield yourself service to obey, that is your master. And what did Jesus say? We cannot serve what? We cannot serve how many masters? Now within all of ourselves tonight, we need to do soul searching. Are we obedient to God and his word or what influences? 3-11, verse 1. Therefore, now, faith is what? Faith is the substance of things hoped for, but the what? That's diametrically opposite to the world, because the world says you have to see it to believe it. God says you have to believe it. The world says you have to see it to what? Believe it. God says you have to believe it to see it. It says faith is the substance. In other words, when you go to God in faith, it's full confidence. The word substance means I have confidence. I have the assurance that God is going to bring it to pass, and it's the evidence of the conviction of things. You know what? I'm convicted. I don't see it, but God is going to bring it to pass by what? Faith. But many times we lose out on God. Because our faith is so shallow, so weak. The one thing that the Lord constantly reproved his disciples about, oh ye of what? He didn't say they didn't have faith. But you had what?
Little
faith. Amen. Tonight, our challenges are not too big for God. How many know that God put the sun in his place, the stars in the moon, and they said the heavens are so high he can't figure out how to get up to the heavens? Who did that? Who did the birds and the trees? You mean God can do all that great stuff and our little problems, he can't fix it? The problem is not God. The challenge is your faith. Amen. Faith is the substance of things that are and the evidence of things. Lord, I don't see it, but guess what? I know you're going to do it. Verse 2 reads, For by what? Faith. For by faith, the elders of the forefathers of those of old are made. Somebody said, my report is always negative. Where's your faith? By faith, the elders obtained. Verse 3 says, by faith, we believe that what? The worlds were framed by the word of God. You mean God's word framed this whole universe? Amen. You can fly in all kinds of different directions. It only took God's word. And our little problems are too big for God. The problem is not God. The problem is your faith. Amen? So the things which are seen were not made in God. We do not have to see it. The things that are seen were not made out of things which do appear. Why? Because God has all power. And all it takes for him to do is speak the word. Verse 4 reads, for by faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was in good standing with God. How did Faith will not cower down to any power, forces, or stresses. Faith will not cower down to outside forces or anything that's contrary to God. Faith, once again, will not cower down. In the face of challenges, faith will stand strong. Now tonight, what are the challenges that are browbeating us and backing us back into the corner instead of us exercising our faith? Amen? You can only be righteous by faith. God testified of his gift, and by he being dead, he's dead, but he's still speaking. Why? Faith. Faith prevails. Verse 5. By faith Enoch was strengthened that he should not see God, see death, and was not now because God, one of the only persons that never died, was Enoch. But why did he do this? Because he said what? He had a testimony. Amen? He had a testimony. What was his testimony? Obedient, he pleased God. So God took him. Amen. By what? Faith. What is our testimony? Your testimony is your life. Amen. Because it's written in all of all men. What is your testimony? When people, and it's hard, we have to work on it every day, brothers and sisters, it's not easy. But when people look at us, they should be able to say that he pleased God. The challenge to our faith is most of us really don't please God. We please individual things or ourselves. Enoch had this testimony before God intervened. Now a lot of us say, God, if you do this, I'll do this for you. No, you got to do it first, and then God's intervened. We say, God, do this and I'll do that. God said, that's reverse. God said, I set the standard. I set the order. You please me first and then I do the rest. Amen. Many of us have lost sight of why we are saved. Amen. Jesus said, I do always. He does it when he feels like it.
Always.
Come on, can I get a little help?
Always.
He does it when?
Always.
Always the things that, even when I don't like it, even though I know carry it before me, and I have some pain and some grief, he said, I still do the things that please my Father. But without, it is what? But without faith, it is what? To please who? God. To challenge every last one of us tonight. No wonder when the Lord gave the disciples one of his parables, he said, Lord, and what? Increase our faith. And Jesus said, no, you don't need your faith to be increased, just be obedient. Amen. When he said, how often should I forgive? He said, 7 times, Lord said, I want you to forgive 7 times 7. That means you can't keep up. They said, Lord, increase our faith. He said, no, you just got to do it. There are some things in the Word we keep asking God, help me. No, you just got to. Can we say you just got to do it? God wants us to do the things that are what? Pleasing to him. But without faith, it is to please him. For he that cometh must believe that he is God. When you come to God, you got to believe that God is the answer to your problem. You can't come to God and say, oh God, I need you to help me, and then you leave it. Well, you can't do it anyway. That's what most of us do in our lives. But he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a of them that seek him. So we're doing what? Trying to please God. Go to Romans chapter 4. We're trying to please God. I'm going to see on the schedule, so y'all run out on me, amen? The challenge to us not being all things. Can we say all things? Now every last one of us know within ourselves what things are not needed. What are some of the old things that we're still holding on to before we got saved? What are some of the influences that we still see? It says he had his testimony. And he what? Believes God. You know the greatest rivalry to pleasing God or challenge to us pleasing God is not anybody else but us. The greatest rival, the greatest challenge to us pleasing God is not the husband, not the wife, not the boss, not the job, not the children, not the outside, not the enemies, it's us. Because the Bible says strict plainly and clearly, when a man weighs,
he's the Lord.
Come on, y'all. When a man weighs,
he's the Lord.
He maketh even his enemies. If you don't believe it, go to Proverbs chapter 16 and read verse 7 for yourself. When a man weighs, please the Lord, he maketh his enemies to be at peace. Well, if we got a whole lot of trouble, we're not getting no peace. Who are we now pleasing? Amen. Who are we now pleasing? Verse 1 of 4. What shall we say then that Abraham our father has pertained to the flesh has found? In other words, after Abraham, with all that he went through, what did he finally discover? Amen. For if Abraham was justified by what he could do, worse than what you can do. Our justification, I don't care how you preach, how you teach. Amen. I don't care how many people you get saved. It's not by what you can do. Because it's not by what? Works. He has well to glory, but not. Now, that's a dangerous position to be in. When we're glorying in all that we have done. Because it says, not of who? God. Amen. Well, go back, please. 1 second. It says, for if Abraham was justified by all that he could do by his own works, he has well up to glory, but is what? Not before God. Not before God. Did you see what I've done? Lord, help me. Because I heard Jesus say, without me you can do nothing. And he says, no flesh shall glory in his sight. So if we talk about all that we have done, it is by our works. It's not of God. God's not getting glory out of it. Amen? So we must walk by faith. Verse 3 reads, for what said the scripture? What said the scripture? Abraham. Then we're talking about what tonight? Abraham believed God. This word, Greek word for believe, means a conviction full of joyful trust in the Lord Jesus who offers our faith. This word believe means conviction and fully joyful trusting in Jesus, who authors our faith. Hebrews 12, verse 2 says, he is the author and of our faith. Tonight, our faith is on display. The devil's watching, God watching, but you make the decision. We are on faith. Our faith is on display. What is our testimony? When the world sees us, what is our testimony? Amen. It says, Abraham believed God, a conviction full of joyful trust in Jesus, who offers our salvation. A lot of us convicted, but we don't have no joy when it comes to trusting God. When things aren't like we want them to be, where is your joy? When the Lord himself said, the joy that I give you, the world, did Jesus say the joy I give you, the world cannot give it to you? He told them, he said, be of good cheer, joyful trust in Jesus. Be of good cheer because I have overcome the world. Lord, have mercy. Why don't we have the joy when the scripture says it is with joy that we grow waters out of the wells of salvation? Where is the joy? He said he believed God, and because he believed God, it was counted unto him for what? And we read earlier, if your obedience, it counts as righteousness. Amen. So to please God, we must be obedient. And we must also have faith to believe God. Now to him that worketh is reward, not reckoning of grace, but once again we get to that about, oh, don't you see what I've done? No. Works, our accomplishment in Christ should not be what we've done. Because that's not of grace, but that's of works. And he says, but debt. You know, a lot of times, you know, and that's why we are, our gut check should always be God's word. How did you do it? By his grace. Amen. I am what I am. That's what Paul said. He said, and his grace will not be stolen upon me in vain. Paul said, by the grace of God, brothers and sisters, by the grace of God, tonight, every last one of us are what we are. But it's not of debts, and it's not of our works. But it's all of God. Amen. Verse 5. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifies the ungodly, his faith. What counted for righteousness?
Faith.
So you want to be righteous with God, of being good standing, of doing things that pleases to God, you must have
faith.
What challenges is overthrowing our faith in life? You can't be righteous with God in unbelief and doubt. To be righteous with God, we must have faith. Amen. Stop here for 1 second. Go back to, I believe it's Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 12 or 13. Hold on. And then we'll come back to this. Hebrews chapter 11. Hold on. Let me do the right one. And let us go down to verse. Then we'll come back to Romans chapter 4. And then we're going to skip one other scripture after Romans chapter 4. Right? So it says, this is what faith is. Now, a lot of times we say, you know what? How long do I have to wait? How long do I have to wait? Say, you know what? I've been doing this a year. I've been doing this 2 years. I keep hearing faith. How long do I have to wait? And Job answered that. He said, you're going to wait how long? All the days of my appointed time will I wait. Well, those in chapter 11, Faith Hall of Fame, waited. How long did they wait? These all didn't get it. But they still believed. They still believed. These all died in faith. Not having, but having seen them, but they were convicted. You have to have a conviction to have faith. But they were persuaded of them and here, a lot of times when things don't go right for us, we just, the whole faith thing, we just throw it out. Give up and quit. Not them. They embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and what? Pilgrims on the earth. These all died in faith. Amen. Let us go back to Romans chapter 4. I'm going to skip around some. For the sake of time, let's go to verse 9 of chapter 4. Then hold 2 Kings chapter 6. Verse 9, cometh this. How many want to be blessed? Lord, whatever it takes, I want to be blessed. You know, if I never accomplish anything else, I want to have the same testimony that Enoch had. The Bible said before his translation, he had this testimony that he, tonight, every last one of us need to make a gut check in our lives and ask, are we really pleasing God? He had a testimony not only that God knew it, but what? Others knew it. Not only did God know it, but others knew it. Tonight when we leave, you know, our prayer should be, Lord, help me do the things that are pleasing in your sight. He had this testimony that he cometh his blessedness upon the circumcision or upon the uncircumcision. For we say that faith was, and because it was faith was reckoned, it was counted to Abraham, it was counted for what? Abraham's faith made him right before God. Without faith is impossible. So only way you can please God is you gotta have. So Abraham's faith was reckoned or counted unto him. Lord, thank you. Lord, if I don't do anything else, please increase my faith. Amen. Verse 10. How was it then reckoned? When he was in circumcision or in uncircumcision? Not in circumcision, but in uncircumcision. He said before, they were dealing with the law. He said, before you start dealing with the law, he said, God did this before the law even came about. Amen. He said, God did this for Abraham before there was a law. You know, the law at times should be more of a reference to the world's standards and conditions. The law makes reference to the world's standards and conditions because we will neglect the word of God to obey the world. Amen. We will neglect the word of God to obey the world. Not me. We should always do the things that are pleasing in God's eyes. That makes us righteous. Amen? And he received the sign of circumcision. Look at the next verse. And the father of circumcision to them who are not of the circumcision only, but who also walk in who also walks in the step of. What steps are we walking tonight? Are we walking, the Bible says, from faith to faith? Or do we have a challenge and lose our faith? Are we going from faith to faith? Or are challenges causing us to? Elder Billy Moore is a prime example of faith until the end. And you know what? Most of us, our situation is not as bad as it is, we've already given up. But in that cell, 7.5 hours away from death, he kept saying, I shall live, not die. The guard said, you're crazy, man. Nobody. The question they asked him, we're going to be making, said, what makes you any different from all those other inmates that have been executed? They asked him, said, are you crazy? Nobody has escaped that death chair. What makes you so special? Faith to faith. The man didn't deliver him. His deliverance came from God. The prisoners mocked him. He talks about how they laughed at him and said, you're crazy. What is hot? They said, like I said, he's the only man in United States history that was guilty of a fence, death row inmate that lived. How did he do it? By faith. Amen. listen to his testimony on CBN. Because most of our situations are in a hundred folks when you do that. But he said he kept saying the word of God over and over, even though everybody was laughing at him. Those officers say, "You're nuts." When they got down and was shaking his head until the state came in, he didn't give up. He kept saying, "I shall live and not die." Whenever you're going through, talk to yourself. Increase your faith. Tell yourself, "I shall, whatever it is, I will." Because God is for me. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Yes, Lord. But through the righteousness of faith. Amen. There's the next one. "For they which are of the law of the air, faith is made."
Boy.
"If the world's condition and standard are the standard for God, faith is made."
Boy.
Once again, I said earlier, we have been conditioned and preconditioned by the world, but not in faith. We have been too preconditioned by the world. When the Bible says, "What we got in Christ, all things should have been needed." Amen. And the promise made of none effect. "Because the law worketh wrath, for where no law is, there is no transgression. Therefore it is of..." Therefore it is of... Can we all say faith? Look, we're trying to increase our faith. All of us have something we want God to do. Whether it's a financial blessing, whether it's our health, whether it's relationship, whether it's something we need God to do. All of us tonight have something that we want God to do. You have to have faith. Because without it, it is impossible. Please God. Amen. To please God is impossible. I'm going to go to one scripture real fast. Go to 1 John chapter 3, I believe it's verse 20. Hold on, let's look at the real verse. Then we're going to come back to this Romans 16, because I got to finish this one. Romans 4, 16. Go to 1 John, I think it's chapter 3 and verse 20. I just want to read one thing about what there are some benefits, there are some blessings that we acquire when we please God. No, it's not 20. Let me see. I got a problem. Hold on one second. Let's see if I can have a shoe. Okay, verse 22. Sorry. "These are the blessings." Well, let's read verse 21 and then 22. We're trying to live in faith. Amen. Can we all say faith?
Faith.
Come on, faith.
Faith.
If you don't have it, you won't please God. Verse 21, read, "Beloved, if our hearts, then we have..." Well, stop. If our heart, you know, have we got some stuff that we haven't got right? Then our hearts are what? Condemning us. Because we know there's some things that are not right. So if our hearts condemn us, God, then have we... If you know you're doing the things that are pleasing to God, you should have some confidence. And that confidence, we said, faith is the confidence substance. Amen. So when you have confidence, you have faith. Amen. "And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we what? Keep his..." We are obedient. We keep his commandments. But this is the most important part of everything. "And do what?" Can we read this together? Can we all, we're going to stand for a minute. Let me give y'all a chance to exercise. Don't be able to stand. Amen. Be able to stand. We're going to get the blood flowing again. But I'll let y'all sit down and begin this. So we're going to read this together so I can make sure everybody's with me. I don't want to lose anybody. Amen. We just want to read the end of it. It says, "We keep his commandments and do what? Those things that are..." And because we do that, we have this assurance that so whatsoever we ask of him, we will what?
See.
Now, many times, you may be seated. We don't expect to receive from God, because we know that we don't do the things that are pleasing in His sight, and we are not obedient to His word. That is an assurance from God that if we are obedient to His word, and if our hearts do not condemn us, and we do the things that are pleasing in His sight. No. 1 John 3:21 and 22, we should all know that. We should learn that by heart. But every time we go to God, we say, I have this confidence now. Because I there's nothing separated between me and the Savior, so I know He hears me. Because ultimately, I do the things that are pleasing in His sight. Go back to 4:16. And then we go to 17, chapter 6. We'll finish there. And I'm on schedule. Amen. Therefore, it is a faith that it might be by grace. What? God, unmerited. In other words, you don't deserve it. But God is giving to us anyhow. To the end of the promise, to the end, the promise might be sure to all the seed. Not to that only which is of the law, but to that which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all, both in the next one. And it is written, I made thee a father of many nations, before him whom he believed, even before God, who does what? Quicken the dead. Now this is where faith comes in again. And calling those things that be not as no way. He said, I shall thy seed be blessed. But he called Isaac before he was even there. They told Mary that the womb, in the seed of your womb, is going to save his people from their sin before he was even there. So God calleth those things that be not as though they, that is all by faith. Now let's go to 2 Kings chapter 6, and we will finish here. Amen. 2 Kings chapter 6, and go down to verse 8. 2 Kings verse 6. We're talking about faith and doing the things that are pleasing in whose sight? You know what? Every day we should say, Lord, I want you to think that I'm pleasing in your sight. Lord, I want to be obedient to you because I have your assurance that if I keep your commandments and do the things that are pleasing in your sight, whatsoever I ask, you're going to give it to me. Why? Because we're going to ask according to His will and according to the Word of God. We won't go outside the Word, we keep His commandments. Do the things that are pleasing in His sight. Then the king of Syria warred against Israel and took counsel with his servants, saying, in such a place shall be my camp. Now this is the enemy, body and canine. Amen. But when you do the things that are pleasing in God's sight, He will take care of you. Amen. Verse 9. And the man of God sent unto the king of Israel, saying, beware that thou pass not such a place. But thither the Syrians come down. Amen. It's important to be right with God. Because God will direct and redirect your path away from danger. Amen. And the king of Israel sent to the place which the man of God told him and warned him of. And he said to himself, there not once, nor so. The enemy had planned to connive against Israel, but God. Now Israel didn't even know, but someone had an ear to hear from God. Amen? Next verse. Therefore the heart of the king of Syria was sore troubled for this thing, and he called his servants and said to him, will he not show me which of us is for the king of Israel? He said, how are you finding out? Every time I plan, a plot, they escape because Isaiah said there is no weapon. Form against us and shall what? Prosper. Isaiah 54:14. And one of his servants said, "None, my lord, O king, but there's a man of God. Elijah did the things that were pleasing to God. The prophet that is in Israel telleth the king of Israel the words that thou speakest in thine." That's why it's important to have a relationship with God. Amen. When you have a relationship with God, there's no weapon that's formed, because God will order your step. For the steps of a good man are what? Ordered by the Lord, and the Lord orders our steps through his word. So you have to have an ear to hear. Many of us pray and ask God, but we don't have an ear. So God can't direct us. And he said, "Go as far where he is, that I may send and fetch him." And it was told him, saying, "Behold, he is in Dothan." Therefore, sent he thither horses and chariots and a what kind of host? When they say great host, that means they were out. They had numbers. But God, amen? And they came by night and surrounded the city. Amen. While they were sleeping. So the devil can do what he wants, but God is still in charge. Amen. And when the servant of the Lord, or the man of God, was risen early and go forth, behold, an host compassed the city, both with horses and... Sound like somebody's in trouble. Can we say, "But God"? Come on, "But God"! You want some victory? Let's say, "But God"! And his servant said unto him, "Alice, help my master." He said, "We're in trouble. We're outnumbered. What are we going to do?" And he answered, "Fear not." This is why you need to have a strong spiritual foundation. The man of God said, "Don't worry about what it looks like. Because everything ain't what it looks like. No more, y'all. Everything ain't what it
looks like.
We are what we look like, but everything else ain't what it looks like." Amen. So he said, "Fear not, for they that be with us."
More.
"Fear not, for they that be with us are more than anything that fell from the enemy can bring against us." Amen. Hallelujah. Next verse. And Elijah prayed and said, "Lord," and this is our prayer tonight as we ask God to increase our faith. "And for us, help us to see things that not as though they were." When we ask God by faith, "Lord, help us to have an evidence of things that are not seen." He prayed, "Open his eyes, that he may." Now this isn't talking about the natural scene. Amen. "Lord, I need something from you. I'm not talking about my natural eyes, but Lord, I need you to open my spiritual eyes. Lord, I need to be able to see that in the midst of the trial, in the midst of the trouble, I still see God. When all the things are against me, I still see God. When they talk about me, men stand and scorn me. The enemy came in against me, I still see God. They came in one way, but because God was fighting my battle, they fled seven, because I see." Who do we see? God. Hallelujah. "Open the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire." And they were in the city. Lord, thank you. Hallelujah. That's why you got to have a relationship with God. Though they were in Dothan, they were all around who? Elijah. Amen? That's why your life got to be intact. All of those angels and fires are around who? Elijah. You think they said it would have been the city, but who was it? God, as the Bible says right here, it says, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire. You can sit around about those things. Right? Right about who? So the city got the benefit of the blessing because one man. The city got the benefit of a blessing because one man was right. Let's go on, go real fast. I'll finish. And when they came down to him, Elijah, and whatever you're going through, it's time to do what? And whatever you're going through, it's time to pray. And Elijah prayed and said, smite this people. I pray thee with. And he spoke them with blindness according to the words of Elijah. Lord, thank you. And Elijah said unto them, this is not the way, neither is this the city. Follow me, and I will bring you to the men whom ye see. But he led them to Samaria. As we all stand, when God is fighting a battle, he will blind the eyes of your enemies. So they went to get Elijah, but even though they had surrounded him, there was something else around the surround. That was God. So the Bible says that he spoke them with blindness as the ministers and the elders come forward. He spoke them with blindness. So they weren't able to fulfill their purpose because of the man of God. We should all in our lives seek to do the things that are pleasing in God's sight. Without faith, brothers and sisters, it's impossible to please God. We're not talking faith, we're talking about living. We're talking about doing the right things before God. Tonight is time to do the things that are pleasing in God's sight. We all need to do an inner inspection tonight. Can we honestly, and this is something that all of you can do, can we honestly say from our heart, I know beyond the shadow of a doubt that no reservation that I'm doing the things that are pleasing to God. And that I keep his commandment and I'm obedient. If we can't say that, Lord, it's time for a change. It's time to ask God, move some stuff out of the way. Lord, you know, at this point of my life, how many know that tomorrow's not promised to any of us? At this point of my life, Lord, if I can't say that my life is leading to thee, I need to change some stuff around. I don't care about what I want, Lord. It's not my will, but it's thy will be done. When Saul had his conversion finally got it together, when he stopped being self-willed and doing it his way, he surrendered. In his surrender, and him stop not doing things his way, he said, God, what will thou have me to do? Can we say it together tonight? Lord, what will thou